Let's turn to Psalm 63 for the scripture. Psalm 63. I'll say it again, I appreciate all those that have talent, that use their talent for the Lord. When Paul was writing the church at Corinth, he talked about the gifts and the abilities, the talents, and he said that they may profit withal. And we certainly are on the profiting end of the talent that God has given many of you, and we're grateful for it. We're thankful that God has gifted you, and we're thankful that you use your gift and talent for the Lord. Psalm 63, if you'd stand to your feet, I want you to notice a phrase that the psalmist David uses here. If you'll notice right under the heading of Psalm 63, there's a caption there that says, "A Psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah." Now, many, and when I say many, I mean many, there's few that don't believe that this was a time when David was fleeing from Absalom. Now, I don't know how much you know about this time. You can read it in 2 Samuel. It's a desperate time in the life of David. And this past couple of days, as I was thinking about all that our country was going through, I thought, politically speaking, David was in dire straits. I mean, he had his own son had overthrown David and taken the throne by force, and David was on the run. And David referred to it himself in verse number 1. If you'll look what he says here, he said in the middle of verse number 1, "My soul longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land." David was in a not so good place personally and politically, but I'm glad to report to you that David served the same faithful God that we serve. And God showed himself strong to David during this time. And so I want to share some encouragement. Perhaps you have been watching all of this forming and taking place in our nation, and it's gotten you a little downcast, or maybe there's something going on in your life personally, I don't know, and you just feel like, well, is God going to step in and do something? Well, I'll tell you this, He will for you. And I have never given up on revival, and I'm not going to. And I hope that you won't. Don't ever give up that God can revive His church, brethren. Don't ever give that up. I will say this, God can revive you. God can revive me. And I believe God really done a work in David's heart when he was low right here. He was in the wilderness. That's not a very good place to be. And yet God did a work in his heart. Let's read it. David in verse number 1, we'll read down through verse number 11. "Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by Him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped." Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this psalm. And I pray that as it was a testament to your encouragement and to your closeness to your servant David many years ago, that we would know something of the encouragement, the closeness that he felt with you then, even tonight. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Help us to realize that the God that we serve is the God of David. He is just as relevant today as you were then. I pray especially for that person that is in a dry and thirsty land in their life. God, would you show yourself to them in a special way this evening? I pray that you would. For Christ's sake, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen. You may be seated. One of the things that really, I went back and just read a little bit about that time, when kind of to get a fresh view once again of what David was going through when Absalom, you could only imagine what it would be like. It would be one thing if it was an enemy that betrayed you and that took the throne, but this was his own son that rose up in rebellion against him, and that moved against him, and that had him on the run, and that had him in this place. And the thing that I really appreciate about David during this time is that he didn't look back and say, you know, oh, I'm so sorry that I didn't do things differently. And he's not regretting, and he's not looking back and saying, if only I'd have done things differently. David knows that's not going to help anything, all right? That's not going to help anything. David didn't look back and say, you know, I wished I'd have done things different. Now, I'm not saying that we won't do that from time to time. I think we all will. But don't stay there. Okay, if you go back there and you look and you say, you know, I could have done some things differently, should have done some things differently. As a matter of fact, we all are going to do that from time to time. But don't stay there. That's not what David did. David did not go back and regret. He didn't look around him and complain and say, you know, I can't believe all that I've done for you, God, and here I am in this situation. David just praised the Lord. You know why? Because he knew God was going to take care of him. God's going to take care of me. David had already said it. He had already said it many psalms ago. He'd already written some psalms, and he said, listen, he said, I've been young, and now I'm old. And he said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or God's seed begging bread. God's going to take care of me. Brethren, can I tell you, God's going to take care of us. He's taken care of us. He has taken care of us. And he's going to take care of us yet still. Because God takes care of his own. Now notice what David said. There's some terminology here I want you to see. He's praising God. He's in a field. He's in the wilderness. He doesn't have a bed to sleep on. He's being tracked like an animal. His own son is out to take his life. He's lost a palace, he's lost a kingdom, but he hasn't lost his confidence in God, and he hasn't lost his peace that God had given him. Notice what he said. He makes it very personal, all right? Before we get into that, I want you to look at verse number 3. He said, the latter part of it says, my lips shall praise thee. My lips shall praise thee. Now, I want to give you some things tonight I hope will really help you. You say, now, preacher, I really want to praise God, but I don't know why I don't praise God. I don't know why I don't just praise God. I don't know why it doesn't come, you know, just flow from me. Well, when we study this psalm and many of the psalms, you'll find David gives the key. You want to praise God? You're going to have to worship him. You have to worship the Lord. See, worship breeds praise. Now listen to me. Don't get them confused. They're different. Worship breeds praise. When we do not worship God, when we do not look at what God is doing and has done in our lives, we're not going to worship him. We're not going to praise him. The reason that so many people, and shame on them, can go to a church house and not sing the songs, and when they do, look like they are about to croak, have no joy in their heart, have no joy in their voices. The reason that there's no joy is because there's no worship. And the reason that there's no praise is we're not worshiping God. You say, well, how do you worship God? Well, David's going to tell us how. David's going to tell you how to worship God even when you don't feel like it. Even when things are against us. And brethren, we all get there. We all get to where things are not going for us. There's valleys in all of our lives. So David says this. Look at the latter part of verse number 3. My lips shall praise thee. I'm in a dry and thirsty land. I'm laying in a field. My son has taken my throne. He's wanting to take my life. There's people looking for me, but I'm going to praise God. Can you say that? Amen. You say, I'd like to, preacher, but I can't. Well, I'm going to show you tonight from the Bible how you can do that. Look, if you would, in verse number 4. I bless thee. I'm going to bless you. Look at the latter part of verse number 4. I will lift up my hands in thy name. God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to bless you. Verse number 5, the latter part. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. In a dry and thirsty land, in the wilderness, laying out in a field in Judah, David said, I'm going to praise God. Look at what he said in verse number 7, the latter part. He said, will I rejoice? I'm going to rejoice. David said, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise Him. Do you praise God? He said, well, I do when I get a check. Or I do when I get good news. Well, we ought to praise God all the time. Have you praised God today? If you haven't, now I want to tell you something. Something's wrong. If you're saved and you have not praised God today, there's a disconnect somewhere. All right? Now, I can't say what it is. I don't know what's going on in your life. I'm just saying that praise is comely. We ought to praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Amen? Amen? We ought to praise God. We have so much to praise Him for. Amen. And David said, I'm going to praise you. It would have been very easy for David to say and begin to question God and say, God, why are you allowing this to happen? You know I've tried to do what's right. You know I've led the kingdom and I've wanted to do the right thing. And now I'm in this predicament. But he didn't do that. He said, God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you. It's a choice. It's a choice. If you have not praised God today, if I have not praised God today, it's because I have chosen not to. Praising God is a choice, brethren. Now, the devil will have you to think differently. But the devil's a liar. And the father of lies. It is a choice that we make to praise God. The devil will try to get us to look at our circumstances and complain instead of look at the God that we serve and praise Him. Look at what he said. This is why David could praise God. Look at verse number 1. Desiring God. Do you desire God? Do you? Look at what he says here in verse number 1. Oh God. Thou art, here's the key, my God. You're my God. It's personal. You're not just a God. You're not even just the God. You're my God. You're my God. You have made it personal with me. And I want to make it personal with you. Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Now I believe this could be two things. David did seek God early in life. For sure, as a young man. There's no doubt about that. But I think he's talking about early in time, as in of the day. I'm not going to let the day get by without acknowledging God. I think that all of us at some time have allowed what David is saying here that he's going to do, we've allowed it to escape us. It's amazing how fast a day can get by, isn't it? Boy, I tell you, a day can get gone like that. David said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to begin my day early. Will I seek thee? I'm going to praise God early. Because as the day begins to take form and as responsibilities begin to mount and my mind begins to focus on the responsibilities of my day, God, I'm just apt, because I'm flesh like that, I'm just apt to leave you out. And I don't want to do that, Lord. I want to begin my day early. will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. I like what David said there. It's my soul, Lord. It's my soul. See, we worship God in spirit and in truth. When we begin to worship God, God will begin, don't miss this now, God will begin to create vacuums in our lives. We will begin to hunger and to thirst. Once you really worship God, church doesn't do it. Please listen to me. Once you really, truly have worshiped God, a church service won't do it. Thank God for church. I love church. But just coming to church and sitting on a seat and going through the motions, that's not good enough. And this is what David is saying. Don't miss it. He said, my soul thirsteth for thee. You thirsty? Are you thirsty? You know how you get thirsty for God? Worship Him. It creates a thirst in your soul. It creates a thirst in my soul. There was times in my early Christian experience where I would see people worshiping God. I would see people with the joy that was just flowing in their life. You could tell they had that close walk with God, and I desired that. And God taught me through His Word. This is how you have that. Worship me. Worship me, and I will create a vacuum. I will create a desire in your heart. And that's what we're talking about, desiring God. You can't miss this. David said, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. What is David saying? He's using physical terms to describe what's going on in his soul. You ever been thirsty? You know how it feels when you've been thirsty and you get a good, cool drink of water? Man, there's nothing like it. Amen? You've been really hungry? I'm not talking about just desiring something to eat. I mean hungry. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness? He said, for they shall be filled. Now, how are you going to get to that place? Worship God. Worship Him. Worship God. And God will begin to create vacuums in our hearts that will cause us to desire, I want more of God. I want more of that. God, I want more of that. I want more of that. And that's what David is saying. He said, though I'm in this predicament, though I'm in this place in my life, God, I want more of you. I want more of you. Though it's a dry and a thirsty land where there is no water, there's something that can be going on like a wellspring in our soul that the world can't touch, brethren. I look around and I see people, and it is sad. Even among professing Christians walking around drooping and sad and sorrowful. Brethren, these things ought not to be. We're saved in the grace of God. We have a peace in our heart, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. We ought not allow what's going on around us to affect what's going on within us. And David said, I refuse by the grace of God to allow this to go on in my life. He said, though I'm in a dry and thirsty land, he said, my heart is panting. I'm desiring. He said, I'm thirsting, God. I'm thirsting. I'm seeking. God, I've got to have more of you. That's what it's all about. Amen. We've lost that, brethren. We've lost that. You know why? We've quit worshiping. We're having church services. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I love church. I love church. You'll be hard-pressed to find someone that loves church more than I love church. But I don't want to come to church just to have a church service. Well, I tell you, the old-timers used to call it go to meeting. I guarantee if we could get Dr. Thompson up here, he'd tell you back in his day, that's what they called it. It's go to meeting time. Meeting, they wasn't talking about meeting one another either. They were talking about God Almighty meeting with them. Why? Worship. Worship. That's why when people came to the house of God, they left different because they worshiped. They worshiped. This is what David is saying. He's saying, you're my God, and I'm seeking thee, and my soul is thirsting for thee. My flesh is longing. Look at those words, seeking. Thirsting, longing. Verse number 2, he said, I want to see something that I've seen before. You know, I'm afraid that we or raising up a generation that haven't seen the things that David's getting ready to describe to us right here. I'm old enough, now listen, I haven't seen it like some have seen it, but I've seen what David's describing right here. I wonder if you have. Look at verse number 2. He said, I'm seeking, I'm thirsting, I'm longing to see thy power and thy glory, like I saw in your house before. Is that what he said? Look at verse number 2. He said, I can remember church services when I was in the sanctuary, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but I'm not doing any discredit to the scripture. He said, I remember when I was in the sanctuary, and the power and the glory of God was there. And he said, God, I'm thirsting for that. I've seen it. What's David saying? He's saying what I've said many times before. Brethren, when you and I, when we get into the presence of God, nothing else will do. It just won't do. Nothing else will do. Thank God for good singing. Thank God for good testimonies. Thank God for good preaching. Thank God for good teaching. Thank God for good fellowship. But if God's not there and manifested himself, brethren, it's just not going to do. If we ever get into the presence of God, we're going to be just like David. And many of you have. I trust that all of you have. It's real. It's real. Now, it's not something we can work up. It's something you pray down. Please listen to me. I'm not talking about something you work up. I'm not talking about pumping and priming and putting on a show. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where God looks down on a congregation of people and he says, you know what, I'm pleased with what's going on there, and I'm going to manifest my presence unto them. And God shows up on the scene. It is real. It is real. I don't even know. Listen, there's times the presence of God could get so real, you won't even know what to do. You say, oh, preacher, yes, I will. I don't think so. You say, can the presence of God get that strong? Absolutely. Absolutely. Study the scripture. Study the scripture. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you, sadly. And Brent, I got to tell you, listen, you're like me. We have grandchildren and young relatives here and young people that we love. We want them, if Jesus doesn't come soon, I want them to know something about what I'm talking to you about tonight. Preacher, how can we keep, why do churches, listen to me now, why do churches slip off into liberalism and it seems like a new pastor comes in and takes the church in another direction and it gets away from the Bible and it gets away from traditional conservative worship? What's going on, preacher? The presence of God. You can't be liberal in the presence of God. Listen to me now. You can't preach just stories and jokes and man-made ideas in the presence of God. It doesn't work. He said in verse number 2, God, I'm longing for something. I'm hungering for something. I'm thirsting for something. What is it, David? To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. I've seen it, Lord. I've sensed it. I've been there. Oh, how I long to see it and sense it again. There's just something about the spiritual man. I'm not going to go into it, but you know we have spiritual senses. And when God comes on the scene, God begins to minister to the spiritual senses of man. Read Hebrews. The Bible talks about having your spiritual senses exercised. It's real. It's real. So he said, I desire God. I'm desiring God. And he said, there's nothing like desiring God. Now, how does that happen? Let's just look at a couple of other, look at Psalm 27 just for a moment. I'll ask you to turn to a couple of Psalms. David, this is not the first time he mentions this in a psalm. David knew what it was to be in the presence of God. You know what he did? You know when David danced in the presence of the Lord? He said, oh, preacher, I'm against dancing. Not if it's holy dance. Now, you know what happened, right? He said, oh, I would never do that. Well, I know you would. Your pride's not going to allow God to even get in your presence. Listen to me. We're such proud people. I watch folks sometimes, they won't even sing. Why? So proud. You tell people to lift their hands to God, and is this count, preacher? Hey, we're so proud. I'm not being mean and ugly here. I'm trying to get you to see I'm proud. You're proud. We're proud people. And God resisteth the proud. God's not going to come on the scene where there's pride and where we try to make it about us and where we're ashamed of Him. He's not going to do it. There has to be a humility. There has to be a desire. We have to realize, God, this is about you. And if you don't get on the scene, God, this is not going to happen. We need you, Lord. We can't do this. This is your work. In Psalm 27, David said, and we studied this psalm in verse number 4, he said, "One thing have I desired." We're talking about desiring God. This man knew what it was to desire God. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." Why? To fellowship with His people, to have good fellowship with the people of God. Thank God for that. I'm glad for that. But that's not why David wanted to be in the house of God. Look what he said. "To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." He said, "I just want to see God in all of His holiness. I just want to see God. I just want to worship Him and I want to sense His presence." Turn, if you would, to Psalm 84. And then we'll go back to Psalm 63. Psalm 84, turn there if you would. And let's look at something that David said about being in the presence of God. Psalm 84, in verse number 1, David said, "How amiable." You know, that's the only time in all the Bible that word is used. You know what it means? You say, "Yeah, it means love." Well, it actually is a compound word. It means fervent, deep love. It's not a surface thing. Watch what David is saying. "How utterly lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Look at the exclamation mark. God, I just love it when you come on the scene. Amen. Amen. You see the desire that's in this man's heart? Brethren, this is what we need. This is what we need. "How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts." Look at verse number 2. "My soul longeth." Sound familiar? "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." So we go back now to Psalm 63, and we see where David is desiring God in verses 1 and 2. He's saying, "God, I want to see your glory. I want to see your power." You know, and I'm leaning toward preaching on Sunday morning on when Moses asked the Lord, "Show me thy glory." See, David wasn't the only person that saw the glory of God. Can I tell you that there's a generation of people raising up that has never seen the glory of God? That's why it's humdrum, ho-hum to them. When God gets on the scene, I'm going to tell you right now, business picks up, brethren. But it comes with a price. God's not going to show up where there's idols and there's no desire in the hearts of the people. There needs to be a desire. Look what David's saying. He's saying, "Oh God, I'm thirsty. I'm longing." He said, I seek for you. I just want to be in your presence, desiring God. Number 2, praising God. It's not enough just to desire Him. Do you desire God? Do you? If we do, then we will seek Him. I guarantee it. If you have not sought the Lord, if I have not sought the Lord, it's because we do not desire Him. It's an indictment, I know, but it's so. I want to encourage you to consider what is being said. To ask God, "God, show yourself. Make yourself real to me." I fear there's going to be many people turning from religion, church, if there's not a real encounter with God in their life soon. Okay? So desiring God. Look at verse 3 and 4, and we'll talk a little bit about praising God. Look at what he said in verse number 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Can I tell you that it is? David said, when I'm in your presence, I just sense the love of God. You know why? God is love. 1 John 4:8. Your loving kindness is better than life. There's nothing else in life that would get my longing and yearning like your presence, Lord. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. You say, well, preacher, I don't understand why I'm not praising God. Because you don't feel the way David felt. You're not desiring God. Right? You don't feel that it's loving kindness. Look, he said it. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. I'm trying to get me and you, us, to realize God is worthy of our praise. You think the world's going to praise God? They cuss him. They curse him. They curse his name. It's you and I as believers that should be praising him. Look at all he's done, and we'll see in just a moment. Okay, I'm not going into detail because of time, but I do want you to know what he said. Because of thy loving kindness, God been loving and kind to you? Amen. Has he? You have to think about that? Yes, God's been loving and kind to you. He's been loving and kind to me. Then we should praise him. Look at verse number 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. Amen. David said a big portion of my life is going to be consumed with blessing the Lord. It's not going to be a side thing. It's not going to be something I do just when everything's going my way. And I mean, like, some people have 10 things that have to happen before they'll give God an attaboy. You know, I mean, right? Right, brethren? That's not the way. Listen, that's unacceptable. And so the scripture says in verse number 4, I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. People come to church and they see folks lifting up their hand or their hands and they think, what in the world's wrong with those fanatics? They're praising God. I could take you through the scripture, and I'm not going to, and show you where the lifting of the hands is a sign of surrender, submission, dependence, sacrifice. It's worship. Lifting of the hands. Don't let anybody say, well, you know, that's Pentecostal, preacher. That's Bible. Amen. If the Pentecostals want to join us, they can join us. The Catholics can join us. Amen? Just worship God. Lift your hands before the Lord. There's no shame in that. But pride will say, oh, don't do that. Somebody will think you're a fanatic. I want them to know. Listen, right. If you're going to be a fanatic and you are going to be about something, right, be it about God. Amen. Everybody's a fanatic about something. Amen. There's people that will work 12, 14 hours a day, every day. They're a fanatic about work. There's people that will do anything and everything to get more money, more money. They're a fanatic about money. There's people, and we could go on and on and on. Everybody is a fanatic to something. I want to be a fanatic for God. I want to be like those folks in the early church. I want to be addicted to the ministry of God. Amen. David said here in verse number 4, I will lift up my hands in thy name. Amen. I will lift up my hands in humble submission and dependence and praise unto the Lord. Look what he said in the latter part of we'll go to verse number 5. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. That doesn't sound very appetizing, preacher. Well, if you'll study the scriptures, especially Deuteronomy and Leviticus, you'll find, well, this is good food right here now. This is delicacy. And he said, when I get in the presence of God, it just satisfies me like delicacies do in the physical realm. And he said, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. I pray that God would help me and help you, that that's what we would do. Shouldn't be talking down people. Shouldn't be complaining against God and murmuring and complaining. We need to be praising God. Amen? Amen. Praising him. It's a choice, brethren. It's a choice. Did you choose to praise Him today? You say, well, preacher, I did, but I think I could praise Him more. Well, you'll have an opportunity to do that if God grants you more time today and another day tomorrow. Make the right choice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He has been so good to you. You know people that don't praise the Lord? You know who they are? Lost people who don't know Him. And saved people who don't remember what He's done for them. Wasn't that the children of Israel's indictment? Look at it, what David says here. Look at verse number 6. He said in verse number 5, my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When, David? When I remember. When I think back. And I look back on all that you've done for me, God. I'm going to praise your name. So, well, I haven't been praising the Lord too much here recently, Pastor. You must have forgotten what God has done for you. That's a very bad place to be in. Hold your place here. Let's read verse number 6. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Go over to Psalm 78 just for a moment. And we'll see what happened to a group of people who forgot God and didn't remember Him. A whole nation in Psalm 78. As a matter of fact, we'll go to Psalm 78. We don't have to go to Israel. Can I tell you what we're seeing happen in our country today? God's been good to this country right here. God has been more than good. God has been very, very good to the United States of America. And America has forgotten. America has forgotten the hand that fed her. America has forgotten the hand that has protected her. Brethren, I'm afraid we're still, listen, we're trying to live on yesterday's wonders. We're trying to make ourselves believe that America is still what she used to be. And you know I'm patriotic. You know I love my country. But I'm here to tell you that America is not near what she used to be. And it's because America has forgotten God. We've left Him out. You say, well, preacher, you don't love America? With all of my heart. And I hate to see our country in the mess that she's in. But it's because America has turned her back on the God that founded her. Look, if you would, in Psalm 78. You want to know why Israel went round and round and round and round in the wilderness? Look at Psalm 78, verse 40. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 42 now. Don't miss it. They remembered not His hand. David said, I'm going to remember, Lord. That's why I'm going to praise You. When we cease to praise God, we are living in verse 42 of Psalm 78. We remember not. We remember not His hand, nor the day when He delivered them from the enemy. We forgot what it was to be without God and without His presence and without His blessing and His provision and His protection on our life. Oh, it can happen. Peter said that we can forget. You can even get to the place as a believer where we've forgotten we were once purged from our old sins. Didn't Peter say that? He sure did. We'll turn back to Psalm 63 and close. Desiring God, praising God, remembering God. We're so smart now. It saddens my heart. Listen, I'm not against progress. I think some folks think, well, the preacher, he's not for education and progress, and he's not for moving forward. You don't know me very well if that's what you think. You don't know me very well. I just hate to see these things get us into the state of forgetfulness, to where we think we're the reason we're what we are and where we are. I read the story, and I'm going to go ahead. The rest of it, David is just saying, if you read the rest of this psalm, he's just saying, as far as my enemies, he said, I sure would like to see them get right, but God, I know You're going to do right by them. And if they're not going to get right, then they're going to get what's coming to them. So he shouldn't have said that. Well, you have to talk to David and the Holy Ghost about that when you get to heaven, because he did say it. He said, they're going to the lowest part of the earth. He said, I'd like to see them get it right. And he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Look at verse number 11. He said, for the king, I'm going to rejoice. Amen? I'm going to rejoice. Look, if you would, as I'm going to tell you a story here to close out this, but I want you to look at verse number 6. He said, I will remember thee upon my bed. David making his bed in a field out in Judah in a wilderness. And he said, I'm going to remember you, Lord. I'm going to meditate on all that you've done for me. Look at verse number 7. Because thou hast been my help. Lord, you've helped me. David, you have nothing to eat. You're living out in the wilderness. You're sleeping in a field. Yeah. But God's been too good to me to complain. The God that's been good to me and met my every need, I don't know how he's going to do it, but God's going to take care of me now. I want to live that way, don't you? Verse number 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. God, I don't want to lose touch with you now. Some have lost touch with God. And it can happen. It's happened in my life. It's apt to happen again. It can happen. David said, I don't want that to happen. I'm following hard after thee. I'm seeking. I'm thirsting. I'm longing. What's David saying? He's essentially saying, God, I'm going to thank you. I want to worship you. I desire you. I praise you. I remember what you've done for me. And I realize that if it were not for you, God, I would have nothing. I stand before you with that testimony this evening. Without God, I would be nothing and have nothing. I read the story many years ago about a man who had a painting in his office, and it was very interesting. It was the painting of a fence with a turtle sitting on one of the fence posts. He was a very successful businessman. This is a true story. And everybody that he would bring in to interview for a position at his business, he would point out the picture. How do you like the picture? And he would see what their response would be. Oftentimes people would say, it's a unique picture. What's with the turtle on the fence post? You know? In which the man would reply, I got that very early in my business adventure. Because I wanted to be reminded daily that I did not get where I was without someone's help. Turtle doesn't get to a fence post and sit on top of it without someone's help. How'd you get where you are? How'd you get what you have? It's God's goodness, brethren. Let's all stand to our feet. David is just praising God. And the thing that really just strikes me about this psalm, I read in Samuel all that was going on in his life. What a man. I want to be like that man. I'm not. I want to be. How are we going to get there? Going to have to worship God. Going to have to remember. All right? You have to look back and see what God's done and realize that God's the one who did it. See, there's a lot of things that's happened in our lives. We really think we did it. No, God used us now. Don't misunderstand me. We're vessels. We're instruments. But God's the one who did it. And the moment we begin to think that we're the ones who did it, or we need the recognition or the praise for what we've done, we're going to lose something special, just like our country. You talk to people today about what God has done, and they will mock and scorn, get angry. I wonder what's going on in your life. Are you desiring God? Are you hungry? You thirsting? Are you longing? Do you praise Him? Did you praise Him today? Will you praise Him tomorrow? It's a choice. The more you praise Him, the more you'll desire Him. Do you remember? Do you look back and see where God's brought you from? God help us. Let's bow our heads together.